Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And I was thinking, you know, we were talking about possibly having different bumper music on there, and I was thinking about the idea, you know, of what's been going on over the last couple of days. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a whole lot of disarray going on in a lot of ways on both sides, although very little on the Republican side as far as in Congress is concerned.
Yeah.
There's problems in the Republican House,
yes.
Not necessarily, you know, in the, and I mean that in the Republican Party, rather than Congress itself.
Right.
A lot of disarray going on in the Democrats, and I'm thinking about, well, this is our Mars music. Do we have any really wars, battles going on? You might have some civil war going on.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a report, you know, the enemy has been engaged, no battle plan survives contact with the enemy.
Yep, that's true.
I'm thinking, you know, so in war, the haze of war, the individual little skirmishes that go on that, you know, create, I don't want to say confusion, but less than clear understanding of a particular outcome.
The fog of war.
Let's use some examples. I think Michael Steele is out for RNC.
Boy, it's sure looking like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's out. I think too many people are going to complain that one, the RNC is being in some ways challenged by the Tea Party, and they're not doing very well.
No, that's that cucumber and soggy mayonnaise sandwich GOP, yes.
Yeah. So the establishment has to have a head to roll, and I think, you know, in the regards that, you know, what's really weird is, you know, we won World War II but lost the planet, you know, type situation.
Yeah, right.
You know, the Republicans are sitting there going, you know, the GOP won the House. Isn't this great? Oh, well, actually, it wasn't the GOP that won the House. It was those upstart, pain-in-the-ass, knuckle-dragging, you know, flyover-country, you know, Palin worshippers that won the day.
Yep.
So, I've had problems with Steele all along. I don't think the man was competent for the position, and he just is too gaffe-prone, to do anything. And, you know, my opinion is the head of the RNC has to be someone that is almost never in front of cameras and forever in back rooms.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
you know,
even more disturbing to me was a report that I read today that said RNC did not have the money for a get-out-the-vote effort, did not have the money to give to candidates, did not have the money to fund ads. And not only that, but its coffers are not only completely depleted, but they have maxed out their lines of credit. And it's like,
yeah,
wait a second.
I saw the same. But of course, it's not my problem. I don't think it's a problem at all.
No.
You know, I think the RNC's problem is, a great number of people that have been donating money to the RNC for a very long time are no longer happy with the RNC.
Yep.
And are simply to A, give it directly to candidates.
Yep.
B, funnel it more to the state parties rather than to the national party.
Yes. Yeah.
So you end up with...
I know that's what I did with my political donations. I went directly to the candidates. I did not give a dime to the RNC, nor did I give it to the National Republican Senate Committee or the National Republican House Committee. I'm sorry. I won't do that. I'm not there.
Yeah, the RNC is definitely an animal of, the Beltway, and
mm-hmm.
As long as they continue to be an animal of the Beltway, I'm not interested in doing anything with them. What's really rather interesting, and I'm not going to get too caught up in this discussion because it went in a different direction, but somebody on Red State posted a diary, and I understand why they did it, but I thought it was pretty stupid. You've seen the pictures of, a fetus
yes.
in the womb.
Yep.
And what they replaced the fetus with was a little elephant. Okay. And the comment was, and then, so that was the picture on the top, and on the picture below it was a lithograph of the Boston Tea Party. And the caption on the two pictures was, if you abort this, hence the GOP,
mm-hmm.
then this dies, the Tea Party.
Ah!
Yeah, and that's kind of what I said was, the Tea Parties are in spite of the GOP, not because of the GOP.
Exactly.
And the GOP's death will do nothing more than support the Tea Party.
Absolutely.
So you can abort the GOP and the Tea Party will come back, will be even stronger.
Yep. Yep.
Mainly because it's going to be, one unaccountable, national party breaking up into 50 much more accountable, Tea Party movements in each state. So, there was a fair number of people that agreed with the diarists. I didn't, and there was a fair number of people that didn't, that also did. But his problem was actually, and you and I can probably differ on that. I don't know. Well, you and I haven't talked about this, but it would be rather interesting. His problem was that Go Proud, GOP Proud, which
mm-hmm.
is a conservative gay organization that got
mm-hmm.
into CPAC
right.
Early in the year,
yep.
Created some stir and actually got pretty well welcomed and defended in there.
Mm-hmm.
The Go Proud sent a letter to the incoming freshmen and said, you do not have a mandate to bring up social issues. Please don't.
Really? This is all the while they're supporting a suit to do away with Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right. Well,
a little hypocritical there, but oh well.
No, I don't think so. Because first of all, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I mean, it could be a congressional point of view, but there is actually a congressional thing going on right now. So, to the Congress, there's an active, action in there. To the incoming freshmen, and I believe that they're correct, this election was not a mandate on social issues. This was a mandate on constitutional issues and what government can and can't be doing. And
well,
limited government most of these candidates, ran on the idea of getting rid of government out of a lot of things and reducing government.
Tracy, I don't disagree with that. I find it hypocritical that an organization says, oh, and by the way, don't get involved in social issues while they get involved in social issues.
Yeah.
Now, you know, one or the other folks, either yeah, we're going to be involved in social issues, or no, we're not going to be involved in social issues. But you can't have it both ways.
Well, I don't think that's what they're saying. I think what they're saying was, don't bring them up. But GoPower is also dealing with one that's already on the table.
But they're bringing them up.
No.
Yeah.
It's already there. It's already on the table. It's already happening.
Well, so is every other social issue already on the table.
No, it's not.
I mean, you cannot say, oh gosh, that's already on the table, and not have abortion, not have...
That's not on the table.
Of course it's on the table.
Tell me what congressional actions right now are dealing with abortion. The answer is none.
Oh, okay. So let me see if I understand this. If Congress isn't saying something about it, it's not on the table. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. That don't fly. It just don't fly. Of
right now, there's
it's
a
on the
congressional
table. It's
commission.
It's in the public discussion.
Oh, it's in the public discussion. No.
Yes,
right now,
it
you
is.
Have a you have a congressional investigation on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and a survey going on in the military on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the president has already said he's going to deal with the answer to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Those things are already being dealt with in the current Congress. They're actively being dealt with right now. Okay.
And your point
there is?
There is
no current commission or investigation going on into DOMA. There is no current commission or investigation going on into abortion.
So if it's in the public discussion, that doesn't count?
No.
Of course it does.
No, it doesn't. Tell me. See, this is the problem.
So tell me where, if everything shuts up, if everything shuts up about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, about DOMA, then, that's not an issue anymore. Is that what you're trying to sell me?
GoProud is saying, you know, don't bring up the social issues that everyone's going to have big fights about and we're not going to resolve anything about it. And
except
deal with getting rid of Obamacare. Deal with TARP. Deal with these things that are important to the country's survival.
Fine. Then they ought to pull out of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell litigation and concentrate only on those fiscal things.
No, you got something ongoing right now.
No, I'm sorry. You cannot say the only valid discussions are those that are being brought up in Congress. I mean, that's ludicrous.
No.
Yes.
What do you tell me? I want you to tell me what could be brought up in Congress right now that deals with abortion that would do anything other than, you know, create paralysis.
Well, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't, right?
Don't Ask, Don't Tell can be something that can be resolved.
So can abortion.
No, it can't.
Fetal pain, personhood, of course it can.
Are you going to tell me you think for a second that Congress can take up the idea of a personhood amendment or an anti-abortion amendment and actually get it through Congress without...
It doesn't have to be an anti-abortion amendment. The only thing it has to do is we declare a fetus to be a human being.
Okay.
And I'm telling you that
the mandate that Congress is going into in January had nothing to do with that.
And I'm telling you it doesn't have anything to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell either. The only thing that you're looking to do is to use a social issue for your own interest. Now, if we are not supposed to talk about social interests and social issues, then don't talk about them. But if we're going to talk about them, then at least understand the hypocrisy of a group that says, oh, don't talk about social issues except the ones we want to talk about.
No, they're not saying that. They're saying
don't bring up
social issues in Congress, you know, to that are, listen to me very carefully.
You already made my guess.
Because, you know, don't ask, don't tell is on the table. It is being discussed. It is actively being dealt with in Congress right now.
It is a social issue. If we aren't supposed to talk about them, then let's don't talk about them.
No, it's a social issue. Fine. We're dealing with that one. It's there. Go says
you cannot pick and choose what social issues you want to deal with.
I'm not picking and choosing. It's
no,
already
Go Proud is.
It's already in Congress. It's already
I
in
don't
play.
Care if it's already in Congress. You cannot say I only want to deal with those social issues that are already in Congress and nobody can talk about anything else.
They didn't say that. They said,
yeah,
please don't bring them up.
They said, shut up about social issues.
They said, don't bring them up.
They want to talk about.
They want the incoming Congress to focus in on the things that every conservative wants Congress and the Tea Party movement wants Congress to deal with, which is Obamacare and the fiscal issues.
Then they
That's
need
they
to
want
get out.
Congress
they
to be
need
focused
to get
on.
Out of the litigation about don't ask, don't tell.
Why would you say get out of litigation? Why would you say get out of the litigation?
Because they are subject to exactly the charge that I'm bringing, which is hypocrisy.
It's not hypocrisy.
It is hypocrisy.
You know,
if they are saying you cannot talk about social issues, leave them alone, other than the ones we want to talk about.
Other than
That's
the ones that are already being litigated or dealt with in the courts or in Congress. They're not going to stop and go, oh, well, you know, this issue is already in front of the courts and in front of Congress, and we want you to stop. Okay, we want
And so is abortion.
That's ridiculous.
No, it is not. It's before the courts. What the hell state was it that just passed a fetal pain bill that's being challenged in court?
Great. Let it be challenged in court.
Let's
talk and anybody
about
else jump
then
in there
let's
and
talk about it
because
that's an issue that's on the table.
It's been an issue it's an issue on the table in a courtroom. Go deal with it in a courtroom. It doesn't have to be dealt with in Congress.
No, I'm sorry. That don't fly. Congress is not the end-all and be-all.
The only issues I want Congress to be dealing with are the issues that Congress is supposed to be dealing with.
Which is?
And right now, that is fiscal management and Obamacare.
Fine. Then they ought to drop the don't ask, don't tell thing.
Who's going to drop it?
Congress.
Why?
Military. Why not?
Because it's already being dealt with.
God damn it. There you go again. Oh, well, Congress is already talking about it, so it's okay to talk about that. It isn't okay to talk about these other things.
That Congress isn't talking about and
ridiculous.
Doesn't have the mandate to be talking about based on this election.
I don't care what election. I'm talking about... I no, and frankly,
I voted for people going to Congress to get rid of
Obamacare.
I voted for people going to Congress to get rid of TARP. I voted for people going to Congress to cut back on government. That's what I voted for people to do in this upcoming Congress. That's what most of the Tea Party people voted for them to be doing. Get rid of Obamacare. Get rid of TARP. Cut back Congress.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with
that.
That's what
we want them to do. That's what we want them to do.
The discussion started out.
That's what we want you to do.
The discussion started out with, oh, GOP Proud said we ought not to deal with social issues.
Right.
While at
the
very same time, they're dealing with social issues.
Was to deal with fiscal issues, to deal with the size of government, to deal with Obamacare. That's what people were sent there to deal with. That's what we want. You and I are agreeing with Go Proud. Don't deal with the social issues right now. It's too divisive.
Except that GOP Proud is dealing with them.
But it's dealing with them. No, you're asking for somebody that's 60 miles into a 100-mile walk to walk away because what they don't want to do is to start another marathon.
No, what I'm saying is, don't say, don't talk about the social issues if you're not willing to do that.
No, I disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, the focus is entirely different.
No, it isn't.
No, we're talking about two separate issues.
GOP Proud's focus is get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. A secondary objective may be to get rid of DOMA. Frankly, I don't care, other than they
The thing that they've got on their webpage right now is to deal with Obamacare and to deal with limited government and those type of issues.
Why did they bring up Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Because they don't want us to, they don't want this upcoming Congress to get bogged down in social issues when we've got so many fiscal issues that need to be dealt with.
While they deal with their social issues.
Social issues already being dealt with in this current Congress.
No, I do not agree with that. I will not agree with that. The fact that there is not a congressional effort in terms of abortion, for instance, or DOMA, is irrelevant to the national conversation. Absolutely irrelevant.
Sorry. You've got two separate issues here, and you're trying to link them. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are.
No, they're all under social issues.
No. You can call them.
Yes.
They are all social issues, but the difference is, one is already being dealt with in Congress and in this administration. It's already actively being worked on. You want a group to pull out of that process, in the middle of the process, okay, because they said, in the next Congress, let's avoid the social issues so we can get rid of all the fiscal issues that everybody was sent there to deal with.
And they aren't doing that, are they?
That's what they want everybody to do.
No,
that's not what
they're doing, though.
That's where
the hypocrisy comes in.
Not hypocrisy. It's two separate issues.
It is hypocrisy. Absolute hypocrisy.
It is not.
When they say, let's don't talk about social issues, other than don't ask, don't tell, that's hypocrisy.
Not. They're saying in the next Congress you were sent there to deal with fiscal issues. Deal with fiscal issues. That's what they're saying. You want them to now not talk about anything else.
That's what Go Proud said.
No. That's
yes,
what you're
they
saying.
Did. They said don't deal with social issues.
Don't bring up social issues.
Don't bring them up then.
Right. Stay with fiscal issues.
Exactly. I'm good with that. What I'm not good with is a group
and you want
that
them
says,
to stop
don't
everything
deal,
else
don't
do.
Deal with social issues while they deal with social issues. That's what I'm not okay with.
All right. Well, we can obviously see what the problem is with dealing with social issues on this Congress.
Yep.
Okay. So we're both in agreement. This Congress should not be dealing with any social issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
They should only be dealing with fiscal issues.
Yep.
Fine.
I'm okay there.
By December 31st, Barack Obama should have resolved his don't ask, don't tell issue, and we can have that off the table for the next Congress.
No, because as long as you keep that on the table, then we aren't dealing with just fiscal issues, are we?
The next Congress hasn't even been sat yet.
That's true.
So what's going on right now has nothing to do with the Congress that's going to be sat.
Okay.
You and I are both agreement on the following thing. We would certainly not like to have this lame duck session at all, except for we want this lame duck session to do one thing we would like them to do. Unfortunately, if we're going to have a lame duck session, then we're going to give them the power to do something, we want them to do, but we don't want them to do anything else we don't want them to do.
Well, fat chance of that, right?
The problem is, if all the conservatives and Republicans, want this lame duck session to do something of significance, okay, then we can't bitch about the fact that they're going to do something of significance that they want to get done. You know, that's
oh, sure,
my
I can.
Problem.
Yeah, I can. I'm, you know, but that's okay. I'm.
Huh?
I mean,
want them to extend the Bush tax cuts.
I would phrase it differently. I want them to not pass the Obama tax hikes.
Okay. Except for one little goodie.
Huh.
If Obama just closes his eyes, plugs his ears, and goes la 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 la, okay, the Bush era tax cuts expire. You don't have to do anything.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I understand why people want to say there's a, you know, the Obama era tax increases, but he doesn't have to do a damn thing to get them. You know, because Bush, you know, and the Republicans, when they put them into play, you know, assholes that they were, you know, put a limitation on them.
Now, actually, that was in response to a threatened Democratic filibuster.
Well, you know what? I have something to say about that.
Okay.
And this is what I have to say about that.
Cool.
You are responsible for the acts that you express, even if you were coerced into doing them. Okay? Because you have a choice. You can either ignore the coercion or buy into it. But in the end, it's still your choice. And so I will hold the Republicans accountable for the stupidity that they've put everybody into by putting that sunset. And I, you know, they can complain about threatened filibusters all they want. They could have, you know, said screw you, filibuster it. You know, they decided, you know, the Republicans decided to put that sunset into it. So I will hold them accountable for it. You know, they can complain all they want about the Democrats jumping up and down going, no, you can't, no, you can't. Screw that.
Mm. Well,
okay.
I don't think
right
that
now
adequately takes into account how the balances of power play out, but whatever.
Ah, so you want to be a pragmatist about it.
No, what I'm saying is this. If you propose a tax cut, and you have to remember when those tax cuts were proposed. They were 2001 and 2003.
Uh-huh.
Now, at that point in time, Democrats had enough votes to sustain a filibuster. So they could keep those tax cuts from happening. Now, you want to be pushed into an argument about, oh gosh, look at what those nasty Democrats did. They filibustered our bill to give a permanent tax decrease to all of these people. Or do you want to say it's better that we should ensure for some period of time an economic recovery by putting those tax cuts in place? What do you do? Now, you know, after the fact, we can say, oh, well, stupid Republicans, you let it have a 10-year expiration.
So, you know, here you go. So you're being pragmatic about it.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I understand what that balance of power is.
You're being political about it.
I'm being political about it from a principled position of it is better to cut those taxes. If I can get them for 10 years as opposed to permanent, okay. If that's what I have to settle for, that's what I have to settle for.
Okay, so now what do we've got going into this lame duck session?
What we have now.
Are you suggesting that the Republicans should accept a 2-year extension, or should they be fighting for a permanent? Or should they be fighting for, you know, a 2-year extension for the rich and permanent for everybody else?
my preference is fight for the permanent increase for everybody. That's my preference. The reality is, don't know that
you're
we're going
to
get that. Don't know that we're going
to
get that. So in that case, let's do a 2-year extension for everybody. Not just just the middle class, not just the poor, not just the rich. We'll do a 2-year extension for everybody. Because that puts us in a very nice place to be able to say, hey, you guys want to let the thing expire on everybody? Or do you want to make them permanent?
I think we're going to have a problem, William.
We probably are going to have a problem, but that's my recommendation.
You know, because, you know, I don't disagree we might end up in that position. You know, but, you know, my argument is that I'm not willing to let anybody else off the hook for being in that position.
Well, that's fine. I mean, reasonable people can differ about that. I'm just saying, would we have been better off to say, okay, no, we're going to keep all of the Clinton tax hikes in place. We aren't going to lower taxes on anybody because the Democrats threatened to filibuster.
Well, we don't know that because this stupid idea where somebody says I'm going to filibuster. And everybody throws up in their hands, oh, we can't do anything because they're going to filibuster, you know, is bullshit. You know it and I know it, this idea that because they suggest they're going to filibuster, that everybody has to act like they filibuster.
Well, but that's all you have to do anymore.
Well, I find that, you know, I think that's bullshit.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but it's the way the damn place works.
You know, the way the damn place doesn't work.
Well, that's also true.
You know, I'm of the mindset at this point that, you know, if you want to do a filibuster, fine. Get up on the floor and filibuster. Show that you're going to filibuster. Don't do this, you know, I don't like this. I'm going to tell you we're going to filibuster, but don't make me get up on the floor and do it because, you know, half of my constituents will throw me out of office if I actually try to do that.
Well, yeah, except that you don't actually have to filibuster anymore. I mean, it used to be that you could. Now all you have to do is say, I've got 40 votes, 41 votes, and if you push us to it, then we'll just use those 41 votes to say, nope, we aren't doing this.
Well, you know, I want...
Now, there's great political theater to be had in saying... Okay, fine. You're going to have to demonstrate that. Let's have a vote on cloture.
Yeah, I do. I want it pushed. You know, I don't want this bullshit of pretending they're going to filibuster so that they can not be put on the floor to actually show their support or their, you know, animosity towards any particular thing.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, I think that. At least in the Senate, you don't have to do that in the House, but at least in the Senate, you make them do the cloture vote, and you put it on record,
right?
Because that's the get down to it, and it also identifies those people so that you can target them,
right? Exactly. And,
yep.
Oh, you know, I think that was a mistake of the Republicans in the previous Congresses, and I think they should, you know, rectify it at this particular point. You know, and make the issue. Put it up there on the issue. You know, isn't that the whole idea of transparency?
Absolutely.
So I'm,
we're,
you know.
we're together on that one. You know, I am a great believer in saying, great, you want a filibuster? We're going to have the cloture vote. You guys get to go on record. Roll call vote. Here we go.
You know, Obamacare can't be overturned. Okay.
No, it can't.
But
well,
I want
not with
us to go in there.
The incoming Congress and the Democrat president. That's true. Absolutely.
I want them to go in there. I want them to put a bill up for repeal. I want the House to vote on it, and I want the Senate to vote on it and knock it down.
Yep.
You know, I want that action done.
Yep.
We're really clear on who's voting for it and who's not voting for it.
Exactly.
And that 2012, there'll be no debate about, well, we didn't, you know, nobody actually voted.
Exactly. Exactly.
Bullshit.
And at the same time, I want the House to take the budget and zero out every penny that they can zero out on that abomination.
Right.
And then do the same.
Right. I want every single budget, you know, every single spending bill that goes up, to have nothing, not a penny, for any aspects of Obamacare.
Yep.
That doesn't mean stop all of Obamacare.
No, because there's too much in regulation that is there.
Right.
But you can zero out budgets to enforce it.
And the other thing is, I want to go back to the tax cuts things.
Yeah.
I absolutely want a fight about this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two ways that it can go, and I think it'll be spun against the Republicans, and I think that that's okay. My problem is, Republicans are going to do something because they don't want to get bad press.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really stupid because they're not going to get good press anyways. So I would rather them go for the entire permanent tax cuts and not accept anything less, even if it means that the cuts expire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there will be lots of bad press that the Republicans let this happen. Okay?
Sure.
And frankly, I think the Republicans at this point have time to take that kind of hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people that elected them this time around know where the problem is. There's enough people engaged in the process that they know where the problem is. And the people that are not engaged, will probably take a certain amount of the spin, but it's going to absolutely, I find myself in exactly the position I was in 2008. I'm looking for some more pain.
Mm.
Because I want to make. I want to make it crystal clear that the Democrats have nothing that is economically, militarily, or foreign, intelligence oriented. That
mm-hmm.
they are vacuous little bag of shit.
Yeah. And other than that, do you have any strong feelings about this?
So my thing is, I think the Republicans at this point should go in and say all or nothing permanent, and when the Democrats, who right now have control, say no, then the Republicans, right then and there, that no more debate, no more discussion about it, go, fine, see you in January.
Yep, exactly.
Because what's going to happen at about the same time that the Republicans take over the House is that people are going to start getting their first paychecks in January, and they're going to go, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well,
yes, indeed. I'm with you.
I just, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for the economy. It's not going to be good for a lot of people. But frankly,
who cares?
The reset is still both viable and a excellent way to get things going. It doesn't have to be engaged now. It can be engaged in 2 years. oh, the result is still going to be the same by using reset. So I would like really to decimate the ideology of liberalism by absolutely causing as much pain and suffering by using it as possible.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Although I'm somewhat insulated from the consequences of that act, and in some ways will benefit from the consequences of that act, I still think, for me, that it is, in the long run, beneficial for the United States to do that.
Yep.
You know, it is beneficial for us to take the hit at this point, and live with some of those consequences.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the Republicans have anything to lose. Now, right now, they don't have anything to lose. You know.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, this is right now still Barack Obama's Congress.
Yes.
You know, this is Nancy Pelosi, this is Harry Reid, and this is Barack Obama. This is their Congress, you know, their, you know, administration, and until next January, you know, we can saddle them with everything that's going on right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
So, like I said, the Republicans are going to get bad press anyway. I don't see any reason why they should, you know, try to pretend that they're going to get good press.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing something stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
Or pragmatic. Yeah. You know, frankly, at this point, I'm not interested in working with Obama at all. You know, the phrase, you first.
Yeah.
Anything the liberal wants to do, you first.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Democrats want to say, we should be doing this. Okay, you first.
Yeah.
Well, before you make the rest of the country do it, you do it first.
Yep.
You know, we'll see how it works for you guys.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and as far as Barack Obama is concerned, unless it is an absolute 100%, you know, way that we want it, then as far as I'm concerned, I voted for the party of no to go into office.
There you go. Yep, absolutely. Who is it? Hippie Chick. He has a thing, the power of no. Actually, it's not so much the power of no as it is, and I'm not recalling what it is that she calls it, but the power of nope, N-O-P-E. It's like, yeah, okay, that works. So we're together on that one. I'm liking that one. You've been following the TSA thing?
Yeah, actually, the guy that has got the thing going on here is here in San Diego.
Yeah. That's,
so, been all over the local stuff. He's been all over the local stuff here. You know, believe it or not, CJ thinks that the pat-downs are okay.
Really?
Yeah. He says, for safety's sake. And she doesn't think that anybody should be exempt, because as soon as everybody knows that somebody's exempt, that's the next place that the bombers are going to use.
Well, that's probably true.
So, and then, of course, my thing is, you know, a lot of people say, you know, we're going to start renting burqas to use for, you know, flying. And I'm sitting that gives the Muslims, you know, Islam, you know, a win. A whole lot of women walking around in burqas.
Yep.
You know, stupid. You know, I find that to be a really stupid thing to do about it. You know, I did suggest to somebody that, you know, if you want to, you know, complain about the situation, fine, say that you have a religious objection to it, you know.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that. I saw that, yeah.
So, you know, frankly, I don't know. You know, I'm not going to be flying anytime soon, so,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what I would do in that regards.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not planning on flying any place. So basically, it's kind of like, yeah, well, okay, it doesn't affect me in terms of my behavior or, you know, any personal inconvenience. It does affect me in terms of what kind of a message does that all send? And is that a message that we want to give our government that, yeah, they can willy-nilly reject and curtail the Fourth Amendment and say, yep, you bet, you guys just don't have any say about that one at all? I don't know.
I do a fair amount of wandering into the federal courthouses. You know, and federal reservations all have the same, you know, big old sign. You know, your entrance onto this federal reservation allows us to, you know, search, you know, your person and your property.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. So, you know, you walk into a federal, you know, installation, you know, they can sniff you, they can pat you down, they can wand you, they can, you know, do whatever they want. You walk onto that federal reservation. So, you know, in the sense that they're trying to apply that idea to airports, you know, you're right. There's just, you know, how far do you want to go? Because somebody's going to figure out how to swallow two pills. You know, one with one chemical and one with the other chemical, and as soon as those pills dissolve, they're going to explode.
Yeah.
Now what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. Now what? We get cavity searches or something? I don't know. My thing on this whole thing is, it seems to me that if we are willing, without a fight, to let our Fourth Amendment rights go, then, you know, it just kind of seems to me like, yeah, maybe they weren't worth a heck of a lot to begin with there. I don't know. But I will tell you what I would like to see. I would like to see strict scrutiny applied to regulations.
Well, that puts the government on notice.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, if we could get strict scrutiny applied to regulations as well as to regular law, that would go a long way towards curtailing that kind of thing, for sure.
Yeah.
I think.
But I don't think you understand what you're asking for. Now, you got to understand, I don't have any problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But some of my pet peeves, would be strongly supported by a strict scrutiny.
Okay.
DOMA fails on strict scrutiny.
Maybe.
So, as a matter of fact, the government would have a very hard time supporting Don't Ask, Don't Tell under strict scrutiny. And strict scrutiny is where every Supreme Court that has denied objections to gay marriage, every time the courts have ruled for gay marriage, it is because they've applied strict scrutiny towards state law that prevents it. Now, you and I both know that there's a god-awful, huge amount of laws and regulations dealing with environmental, dealing with financial, dealing with, you know, virtually every type of regulation that would fail miserably with strict scrutiny. And I'm all for it. You know, especially at the federal level, I don't think there should be anything but strict scrutiny.
Okay. I don't know that I agree with your analysis that those things would just naturally fall because they couldn't withstand strict scrutiny. But whatever. All I'm saying is, you know what? We would be a whole lot better off, I think, if we applied that standard to regulation as well as to law. I will only make this comment once. I'm tired of you all trying to steal words from us. So, you know, you already took the word gay and made it into something that doesn't mean any lighthearted, happy person. I'm really not willing for you to steal the word marriage also, okay? And that's all I got to say on that one. Call it something else. Make up a word. Do something. I think you'd have 80% of the country with you if you do that. But as long as you all insist on the word marriage, there's a visceral resentment of that.
You know what? And I absolutely understand that. I do. I really do. I understand that. Okay? My general response to that, in a non-confrontational, non-opening, statement of a debate, because, I will take your statement for what it is. It's just a statement.
Yeah.
Not an opening shot. Won't go into it.
Nope.
My general response to that is that, the English language is not the French language. Words change in definitions all the time. And while I absolutely understand the visceral reaction towards it, I really do, I would rather, open the definition of one word to encompass something else than to have to change 57,000 regulations across the country to deal with something else, to call it something else. Much easier to change one word than to have to change 57,000 other regulations.
Yeah, except that, where do you draw the line on that? Up is down is up, right is wrong, black is white. You can change definitions all you want, but
It doesn't
bode well. Do you read Hillbuzz?
No, I don't.
You know, you ought to. Kev is a really neat guy, gay guy in Chicago, who's the primary writer, although there are some other writers also, and does a really good blog from a gay perspective. See, I mean, even I'm using the word gay. How stupid is that? Anyway.
Hypocrite!
About 2 months ago, he did one post on that subject, and I didn't go into the comments, so I don't know if he caught hell for it or whatever. But he said, we ought to have our own word for our relationships and commitments. And he said, and I forget what word it was that he used that he was touting that day, and he may have moved on to a different word or something else. But I thought to myself, you know what? If you can make that stick, you got a winner, an absolute winner. People would jump on that like white on rice. right now. He's a good blog. You ought to read him.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that if, and an honest question, you know, simple response, do you believe that if gays are allowed to marry, that heterosexual marriage will end?
No. But I think it will cheapen the word marriage.
Okay.
In fact, I think it will debase it. And I don't think that that's something that our society needs. I mean, it's already been debased. I mean, God, look at all of the no-fault divorce laws and everything else. And then you look at the state of the family and you say, you know what? There's a correlation there. Shame on us for letting that happen.
Well, you know, and I think there was an argument that I got into with some gays a long time ago.
Yeah.
About it, and you know, and the discussion was, I didn't disagree with them. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you have, you know, 5 million marriages a year, that, you know, 2.5 million are going to end up in divorce.
Or more, yeah.
Or more.
Yeah.
And worse, those divorces are going to be nightmare, you know, situations of, you know, horrible actions between two people. You know, that, people forget gays. I mean, take them out of the equation 100%. You know, people like CJ look at, you know, how marriages, you know, erupt into, you know, nightmares, and they go, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to have anything to do with getting married to somebody that has a 50-50 chance into erupting into, you know, a nightmare. You know, we have a couple here in San Diego. They're getting ready to go. They're losing the house because of foreclosure. They have a financial
mm-hmm.
problem with house
mm-hmm.
foreclosure. They're getting
mm-hmm.
ready to file bankruptcy. Well, because of all that issues, well, they're getting, you know, the wife says, I want a divorce. Okay? So what the husband did was he planted a pipe bomb in her car,
yeah.
you know, and practically blew her legs off,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanted a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You look at, you know, Rudy Giuliani, who brings his mistress into the governor's mansion and then wants to talk about family values.
In both cases you cited so far has been males, and yet, you know, what was one of the Drudge stories today? Oh yeah, girlfriend attacks her boyfriend with tamales.
Oh yeah,
you know,
girlfriend tries to cut the tattoo
off of her boyfriend's neck.
And poison. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. Here's my take on all of that, and we're running out of time. I know. My take on all of that is, folks, it takes work to make a marriage, any relationship, work. You cannot go through a relationship saying, oh, yeah, everything's fine. You have to work at it. And if you aren't willing to work at it, then don't get hooked up. Don't start those relationships. Because if you aren't willing to work at it, I guarantee you that that relationship is going to end. And it will not end well. Period.
Victoria asked me the other day.
Yeah?
She said, how have you stayed with me this long?
yeah.
And I said, tracism. You know, I work at it because, you know, the relationship is something that, you know, is important to me, and I work at it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyways.
Got to do that.
It'll be over soon. Give your things.
Shout outs. Okay, Mama Gurkha, Arkansas Traveler, Hallie 5, Louise Omaha, if you're tuned in, thanks for listening. We certainly appreciate it.
Everyone else, we'll see you next week. William, to the green room.
Yeah.
I think you're correct that, it's certainly marriage is something that's worked, and this is why this is my issue with marriage in general. The amount of damage to the institution of marriage done by heterosexuals over the last 30 years with no fault and everything else is just, amazing.
Yep.
You don't have to look at gays disrupting marriage to show that, the significant social disruption in our society caused by the disruption of, families, is just flat out significant. I mean, it's just huge. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, my problem is that I don't see where gays cause any more damage to it. You do, and I understand that.
No. Don't try to read something that isn't there into there. I don't have any problem with homosexuals having lifelong commitments. That doesn't pop up on my radar. I have a big problem with you calling it marriage. Call it something else. Call it anything else. But don't steal another word from us. All the rest of us.
Okay.
I mean, homosexuals make up what? Maximum 10% of the population? Max? Probably less than that. And you're going to change our vocabulary for the other 90%? I mean, that doesn't make sense.
I don't see that at all.
Well, see, I do.
Okay, I look at it like this. All right, if I said to you, what do you call a relationship between two people that is committed, lifelong, has lots of love, and they take care of each other and go ups and downs? I mean, you can take a definition of, you take all the characteristics of the relationships, and put them side by side and say, this one is called marriage. What would you call this one? They go, the marriage, because it's all the same. The only difference is, the gender of one party. Everything else, all the functional attributes of marriage, all of them, the things that I do for Victoria, the things she does for me, the aspects of our life together, everything that you would consider is part of a marriage exists here.
Tracy, look, I'm not arguing that with you. All I'm saying is this. You've got a multiplicity. You have a multiplicity of words out there. Why do you have to take the heterosexual word?
I'm taking the language
to include something that hasn't been a part of that language for as long as the English language has been around.
Because I'm taking what the word means and applying it to the situation and saying, this is a situation. The two relationships are comparable in virtually every possible way. We can talk about the other one or not, because that's, in my opinion, irrelevant, because it's irrelevant to you and your wife. Okay? It's an important part of it.
We are not going to agree on that. I don't think you ought to be able to steal another word. I'm sorry. I just don't think you can.
That's your point.
And if you all got together and said, you know what, let's call it this, you'd have 80% of the country with you. I mean, there's always going to be 10% that is going to say, oh, Gary, oh, God, let me drag my knuckles here. I mean, why do you want to start the fight? Because that's what it is.
I find it silly.
Because what?
I find it silly.
That's fine, except that when you say, I find it silly, what you're doing is telling 90% of the rest of the world, you're silly. Why do you want that fight? No. We think that the 10% is crazy.
I think you're silly. And here's the other thing.
Well, I understand that
that's not the only place that I think that 90% of the population is silly.
Okay.
I'm agnostic. Give me a break.
That's fine. And that's another thing. Why do you think anybody cares about that? Other than the proselytizers who say, let me convince you here. I think Kevin at HillBuzz had it right. He said, and he was really talking more along the lines of, Democrats really don't like homosexuals.
No, they don't.
They say they do, but they don't ever do anything. And he says, the worst thing that anybody from the Christian side has said to me, I'll pray for you. Now,
why is that
a bet? That's a big difference.
I have a problem with that. I'm agnostic, and people say, do you mind if we pray? I went, no, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we pray for you? No, go right ahead. As long as you don't make me pray with you, I'm okay with that. Because my general feeling is anytime somebody wants to say, think positive thoughts towards me.
Of course.
I'm all for it. Go right ahead.
Gotcha. Yeah, absolutely.
For positive energy
right
in my way. You want it directed towards, under some, religious auspices or dogma. That's fine. It really doesn't make any difference to me what you are thinking. But I'm not going to, somebody came in and they wanted to pray for Victoria, when she was in the hospital, the chaplain and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, can we pray for you both? I said, yeah, but don't expect me to pray. But, I will like it, and, I'm certainly never adverse to it. And so, they bowed their heads. Victoria bowed her head, and everybody prayed, and I sat there watching them bowing their head and going, ooh, good energies.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. And that's what I said. Yeah, thank you. I don't know what the problem is. Now, understand something. I have objected to a priest giving me a blessing.
Really?
Different thing.
Why?
Because a priest giving me a blessing is not her or him doing something for me.
Huh?
Think about that for a second. Okay?
Well, I am, but I'm not, I mean...
I'm not understanding it. Okay?
No,
I'm sure not. Here the deal is, remember, a priest acting in their official capacity is not a person acting. It is God acting.
Yeah, that's only in terms of Roman Catholicism.
Well, actually, the Episcopalians have the same general point of view.
Well, okay, Roman Catholicisms and Episcopalians. I mean, that is certainly not true of Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, fundamentalists, whomevers. Charismatics.
Yeah, but, that's the difference. At that point, what they're saying is, God is blessing you. And I'm like, yeah, not buying that. Okay? You want to give me a blessing, you want to pray for me, great. You want to stand in front of me and say, God is giving you a blessing, I'm like, yeah.
So Tracy, what are you going to do? Oh, wait a minute. Are you an Episcopalian or a Catholic? Oh, I'm sorry, I can't take that. Oh, you're a Baptist? Oh, yeah, that's fine.
No. You got to understand, I'm specifically talking about a priest acting in their official capacity, giving a blessing.
Well, okay, you say priest, and that says Roman Catholic, and maybe Episcopalian. I don't know if they're priests or not. But that isn't what Baptists or Methodists or Presbyterians call their people. They're pastors. So my question stands. You know, if it's a pastor doing that, you have an objection? And what?
In
you're going to say, oh, well,
yeah.
No, let me see. No, you can't. You can't. Yeah, but you can. That's fine.
In their official capacity, yes.
Well, okay. That's fine.
if they come up to me and say, can I pray for you? No problem. No problem.
Even if it's in their official capacity as a pastor.
Because that's right, because they're praying for me. Okay? But in their official capacity of a priest or pastor giving a blessing, that blessing is not from them, that blessing is of God. And you can take it back to your own pastor and ask them, and they'll probably basically agree with me.
I don't have a pastor, but that's fine.
It's a slight difference, but it's very dogmatic, and it's something that I spent a whole lot of time working about because, I spend a lot of time in the services and in the churches because, Victoria are believers, and their faith is important to them, and I support that. So I, attend greatly. But there are places where, I am not a believer, and, things like going up, for communion and stuff like that, I simply don't do because it's inappropriate for me to do so.
Well, I'm without meaning any offense to you whatsoever. I think you make a religion of your agnosticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't. Religion
is religion. Come on.
If your religion
is there is no God, then okay, that's still a religion, folks. And if your religion is, gosh, I don't know, that's still a religion.
Right. I generally, that's generally correct.
Yeah.
The tenets of my religion are pretty specific.
And that's fine. I mean, everybody's tenets of their religion is pretty specific.
Yeah. So.
I just find it humorous. Actually, humorous isn't the word I want. I find it odd that a person having the religion of agnosticism takes offense at a religion that acknowledges a God.
Any offense at it? Offense.
Okay.
I'm not taking any offense at it at all. I think it's fine.
Okay.
And I say this all the time. 95% of the people on this planet need God and religion. I don't, thanks. But, 95% of the rest of you need it. Yes, that means that I find that you are lacking in something and their religion therefore satisfies it. I don't have that lack, so I don't need it.
But you need something because you have a religion of agnosticism.
Your religion satisfies a need. Okay? My religion satisfies a principle.
I don't know that I want to get deeply into theology here with you, but
let me be more specific. Okay. A very long time ago, and I've had this conversation with Victoria very recently, in the last 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Very long time ago, I decided to turn my back against Christianity, against religion, because I had problems with it. But at this token, I am the product of, 30 years worth of religious upbringing. First as a Roman Catholic, and then second as a non-denominational fundamentalist. Yes, I was a fundy, a Bible thumper, at one point in my life. And, I argued that religion serves two purposes. The first purpose that religion serves is to transmit the ethical and moral behaviors of the society to the next generation.
Now, wait,
it also
say that
serves
again.
The need of, it also serves the need of a spiritual fulfillment for worshiping a deity, something bigger than themselves. Okay? So it serves two purposes. Now, religion, and I'm talking about organized religion, serves its own purposes also. I'm talking about the religion that serves people, okay, the people that have their religion. We're not talking about organized religion, which has its own purposes, its own patriarchy, its own problems, and, you know, that's an entirely different thing. I got no use for organized religion, virtue of any type. But for people's personal religion, it's an important part of their lives, and I think it's it should be honored and recognized as an important part of their lives. Okay, but it serves those two purposes. And my problem was I wasn't willing to buy into the ethical and moral portion of what a religion is trying to transmit. However, I wasn't an idiot. Those moral and ethical, you know, trainings are designed to help you make good decisions for yourself. Good decisions for yourself, good decisions for your family, good decisions for your community. Okay? You use those, that training of moral and ethical systems to give you that guidance. Well, without that moral and ethical behavioral training, I still have a need for knowing what is the right thing to do for me. I need help in making decisions like that. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay, so I still have the need to be able to make good decisions, both short-term for myself, long-term for myself, and for, you know, my family and my community. And so I need to have a system that replaces that moral and ethical system, but that functions in much the same way. Well, if I've created, and I have, a system that supports my decision-making process in ways that, you know, allows me to make decisions towards for myself and towards others, then that is a moral and ethical system. And if it is based on some type of faith or belief rather than a scientific precept, then you can call it a religion. So it is not religion as Catholicism, but it is religion as in the personal, you know, people call it the personal savior of Christ in their life. That's their religion. Okay, they might be part of an organized religion of other people that have that similar belief, but their religion, their personal religion, your personal religion, you know, is either of a character that you can find in, you know, some of these, you know, organized religions, or it is a personal, you know, it has personal attributes similar to them that, you know, you can satisfy and be okay with, but you disagree with certain aspects of it. So you might not agree with all the dogma, but, you know, enough of the religion satisfies your own point that you can work with that as far as society is concerned. In any case, you have your personal religion. It may have attributes and characteristics of an established religion. I have my personal religion. I call it Traceism. It is a system of rules for me to make decisions and to guide my behavior. So by that token, you know, religion per se is fine. And we all have it, and anybody that suggests you don't, and that includes the atheists that say they don't, you know, they have some system of making decisions and guiding their behaviors. That system is a religion. It's an ethical and moral system that has some basis in, you know, a belief system or a faith system, you know, because I haven't met anybody that organizes themselves on general relativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's based on something. You know, and of course my system is based on, you know, Traceism is based on the concept of, you know, goals and acting towards those goals, and the outward response to those is, you know, my moral and ethical system is based on rights. You know, I have a certain set, I have rights to do certain things, and by faith, I give you the same rights internal to my own system. You know, there's no reason for me to give you those rights other than a faith or a belief system that it's appropriate for me to do so. So, you know, I can justify it in lots of ways. In any case, you know, I don't have a problem with Tracyism being called a religion. It is, by most definitions. It's not organized religion, which is an entirely different animal. But
You're admitting to being disorganized.
Organized. I'm very organized.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, the difference is, you know, so the mechanical part of religion, you know, the ethical moral system, the guidance of training and stuff like that, you know, I think are all valid and useful and great. The worshiping the deity part, it's stupid. You know, the other 95% of you that need that part, you know, yeah, you're just a little bit twisted. You know. Someday you'll grow up and you won't need that stuff anymore.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know,
good luck on that. And most of us that are nominally Christian think kind of the same way about you.
But you'll pray for me, right?
I'm always willing to pray for folks. You betcha.
You know, that's fine. In the end, that's fine. But anyways, that's where the place is. And if you ever want to have a talk with a pastor about it, you know, you'll generally find that they understand there's a distinction between them acting in a official capacity with giving blessings, and as a personal capacity as you know praying for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a difference. You know, trust me, after 25-30 years of very deep involvement in the concepts, both directly and indirectly, I speak with a little bit of authority.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. You speak with authority for yourself.
You know, Victoria took 4 years worth of education for ministry.
Yeah, cool.
And by osmosis, I took it too. I speak with some authority. In any case, that's another issue.
Yep.
We won't need to go there. As far as I know, you and I have just been having a conversation, and the green room closed down almost right away.
Oh, did it really? Well, shame on them. Didn't they understand that we were going to continue on here?
And that was going to be a good continuing on.
Yeah. Okay, kiddo. Hey, how's V doing?
She's supposed to come home this week.
Yeah.
Or she'll be admitted to the hospital for emergency surgery on Thursday.
Oh. Well.
The antibiotics that she was on, the reason she was going into the SNF was for antibiotics and a wound vac on her foot.
Yeah.
On Friday, the wound vac was removed. He doesn't think it needs it anymore. He wants to consider putting in a biomedical graft, which is not a, you know, they won't take a skin graft from her.
Mm-hmm.
What they'll use is a device that's designed to be, to function as a graft,
mm-hmm.
but it's a medical device. So it's usually a lattice that is embedded with lots of stuff. Stop it! It's a device, usually it's a, you know, a matrix that's, you know, embedded with lots of stuff to help promote skin growth, you know, and it's like a trellis for vines, you know, that they put on there. In any case,
yeah.
The antibiotics, you know, ended today, wound vac ended on Friday. He came in to look at the wound and to just check the other wounds, and he looked at the foot and thought that was really great, then he looked at her abdomen. And he looked at me, and I could see it in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
And she has skin ulcers on her abdomen from pressure wounds. It's like, you know, bed sore type things, except for this up front. Stop it. No. Anyways, one of them, when she went to the hospital in mid-October, was about the size of a dime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is now about the size of a dollar bill.
Oh, boy.
And he believes that what has happened is that there is an abscess underneath it. About the size of a grape. I'm sorry,
got
about
it.
The size of an orange.
Yeah.
And that abscess is just full of poison. And the problem with it is here. Victoria is overweight.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people have a large belly.
Mm-hmm.
But some people develop a secondary large flab of skin below the stomach. And that secondary flab in Victoria is where the ulcers are.
Oh, God.
And the problem is this abscess is in the fat. So the antibiotics that she's been getting by IV
doesn't
get that because there's just not a lot of vascular support in the fat.
Exactly.
So the antibiotics can't get to it. And because it's not draining from the outside,
what
the topical agents that they put on the top don't get to it either.
Exactly.
So it just sits there and gets bigger and bigger.
And bigger and bigger. Yep.
And the problem is, if they were to open it and drain it, the problem is it's in the fat. There's almost no way to get it to heal because you underneath can't grow up into it because the fat is blocking it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep.
He believes that it is so big and so pervasive in her abdomen that he wants to surgically remove that entire section of fat.
Kind of like a liposuction.
Actually, it'll be more like a tummy lift, where they cut away that entire section of skin, fat, and everything. The problem is, once they begin the cut, they have to make sure the abscess doesn't rupture.
Yep.
Yep. Because it's like perforating the bowels.
Well, sure.
You know,
and then you just spread it around.
Right. It would be really, really, really bad.
Yep.
So the surgery itself would be extremely dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the problem is, given her healing qualities at this point, with everything else that's going on, healing will be an extreme process because it'll be about 150 staple stitches. You know, all the way across her abdomen from hip to hip.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a large mass. I mean, it's probably, you know, 10 to 15 pounds of fat that would be removed. You know, but if, you know, she goes to the surgeon on Thursday, you know, he might say she needs to go in and have this done immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Or he might say we might have a couple of days to let, you know, to let this go, but, you know, we really don't have a whole lot of time.
Exactly.
If he says, you know, we've got some time, then I'll bring her home for Thanksgiving.
Oh, how cool.
And then I'll, you know, then she'll go back in to the hospital.
Yeah.
But there's every possibility that what'll happen is on Friday she comes out of the sniff.
Yep.
She either comes home or she goes back in the hospital.
Yep. As a pre-op.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the surgery will happen pretty quickly if she goes into the hospital. If not, you know, we'll see how things go. But, you know, the surgical will be, you know, done, and then she'll have some recovery time after that. So, you know, it's one of those situations. You know, the reason she went into the hospital, you know, is basically being resolved. But another issue has come up that's equally, if not more, dangerous.
Yep.
And the hospital's in trouble. Because they've been taking pictures of this thing all along, and they should have been on top of this. He was really worried on Friday.
Wow.
I could see it in his face. I could see it in his tone. You know, It was something that he was extremely anxious about. He wanted her into the surgeon as quickly as possible.
Wow.
If this becomes something that's really detrimental to her health, I'm going to scream because, I kept, the entire time she was in the hospital, are you watching this? Are you looking at this? This is getting bigger. Mm-hmm. You need to address this. Getting more out of hand. All I get told is, wound care is managing it. Wound care is on top.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways.
Sounds like they did a great job on it.
I had to use in the show the other day.
What's that?
I had a characterization of something I wanted to use in the show. I never got to it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is what I was thinking. Obama was given the keys to the house.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a fire on the stove.
Yeah.
Now Obama wants to be credited with saving the house, even though the fire has now gutted it.
Yeah. Very good. I like that. That's even better than the car analogy.
Anyways, as far as Victoria's concerned,
yep.
She's still having problems with lucidity. She still loses it sometimes.
Yep.
I'm still having problems with, having to go there in the middle of the night.
Yeah, of course. I guess the only thing I can tell you is hang in there, kiddo.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting because she gets really reflective in there.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
She wants to know, why I've stuck with her. She's been such an asshole for 17 years. Why did I stick with her?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And she goes, I don't understand you. I don't understand you at all.
Yeah.
And it's rather interesting. She goes, I don't deserve you.
And
I find that rather interesting, this idea of deserving.
Yeah.
Anyways, it had really serious religious connotations to it.
Well, yeah, the only thing that I would tell you from my experience as an EMT is that when people get reflective like that, they are in fact considering their own mortality there.
Oh, yeah. And as I said, we were in dialysis yesterday, and one of the other women that's in there, her husband's in dialysis, he had an aneurysm in his groin.
Oh, God, yeah.
And he's lucky that he's still walking. However, it killed his kidneys.
Oh, geez.
Which is why he's in dialysis.
Yeah.
But he's looking more and more like death warmed over as time goes on. He's up to four times a week dialysis, 5 hours a shot.
Oh, boy.
He actually has more kidney function than Victoria does. But, the rest of his systems are beginning a slow shutdown.
Yeah.
Sitting there, my problem with Victoria is that every time she recovers from an event,
mm-hmm.
her plateau is lower.
Yes. Yep.
That's
the way it's going to work. That's the way it's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean,
and at some point she just can't, she won't be able to recover.
Exactly.
And I know it, and I understand that, and I recognize it, and,
mm-hmm.
I can't perceive this process going on for another year. I can't. The step-downs are too dramatic.
Hmm.
And this stomach thing could easily be, she could easily run into trouble on the table.
Yep.
And easily run into trouble afterwards.
Is she a fighter?
No, she's given up. She's quit.
Has she? Yeah, okay.
Sometimes,
maybe as hard as that is to accept, sometimes people know better when it's time to fight and when it's time to quit.
Not always.
I mean, my brother-in-law died of pancreatic cancer, and he never did fight. I mean, he just quit, period. When the diagnosis came through, that was it. And pancreatic cancer is bad, absolutely. But
fast and painful.
Well, yeah. But the point is, he never did fight. Some people will fight, and sometimes those people will surprise you.
I made the comment that I made it with Billy and I made it with Eddie. You know, with the exception of people that die in, you know, horrible accidents, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else's death is a matter of choice.
Pretty much.
You know, at some point, you know, you're going to fight. At some point, you're going to go, done.
Yep.
You know,
I know it's over. Why prolong it?
Yeah. Then it's a really short trip.
Yep.
You know, it might be a short trip of days or hours or a short trip of weeks or a couple of months. But
yeah. But
once somebody has quit.
Yep.
You know.
That's pretty much it.
He's quit.
Yep.
You know,
damn, I'm sorry, Tracy.
You know, the only issue for her is, you know, she's scared to death.
Well, of course. I mean,
you know,
that's the great unknown.
But, you know, this is not something that I'm discussing with her.
Mm.
You know, I don't have any problem with it. I, you know, now talk to me again when I'm facing it, but,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't. I look at it and go, you know, I'm absolutely 100% locked in solid, you know, that we are more than the sum of our parts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
That, you know, that this is just one step. You know,
okay.
Big,
yep.
Huge, mega, stuff like that. But this is one. There's more beyond this. And, you know, I don't know what that more is going to be, but I can guarantee, for myself internally, you know, am locked in that there is, in fact, more.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
is it? Is it heaven? Is it hell? Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. But
yeah.
The point is, you know, death is a transition point, not a point.
End point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not an end point. It's just a transition. It's one thing to something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be traumatic and, you know, all those things. I think I brought this up to you before. Have you ever seen the movie What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams?
You have mentioned it before, and I have not seen it. But, yes, you have told me about it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's probably pretty, oriented towards my own sets of beliefs as far as things are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, humanity, it's quite clear. It's it's scientifically it's sufficiently scientific in my mind to prove its point. We are, in fact, energy more than the sum of our parts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And,
works for me.
So, you know, there certainly would be trepidation. There certainly would be, you know, concern about, you know, the process of making the transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not interested in dealing with a whole lot of pain. You know,
yeah,
I have a
exactly.
high tolerance for pain, but that's besides, not because I'm interested in encouraging it.
Exactly.
But as far as after, you know, I don't have any problems with after. I assume there's an after, and, you know, when the time comes, you know, I'm interested in dealing with it. Of course, I don't expect to die to go past 137, so that's something.
Well, there
that,
you go.
You know, any rush towards.
You still have a lot of years left to contemplate all that.
None of that is useful for Victoria at this point.
No, it isn't.
None of that.
Well.
You know, and her faith and her belief, which is really something that I find, you know, kind of interesting. You know, despite her faith and belief and, you know, strong effort to be involved in it over the last 10 years,
mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
her no comfort, none.
Mm. Well.
You know, we were in the hospital. We go Tuesday to do a minor thing for her,
mm-hmm.
and she was on a table that was very narrow, and it was, you know, it was difficult for her to be comfortable on there. And, you know, her butt was sore, so I actually got my arm underneath, you know, her upper legs to kind of take some pressure off of her butt.
Sure.
And I had her arm, her shoulder cradled in my other arm just to hang on to her on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, you were cradling me. And for the first time in my life, for 45 minutes, I felt completely at peace.
Wow. How cool. How cool.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. because, you know, I was, you know, hang on to her and make her feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think more than that. But, you know, it was, it meant a lot more to her than that. So, yeah. You know, so it's good that I can give her that stuff right now.
Yep.
But, you know, the path is downhill and accelerating.
Yeah, well, not a lot I can say about that, so I won't. Simply give V my regards. And CJ, how's she doing? How's CJ doing? She okay?
She really needs help at school, and I can't give her much.
Mm.
You know, I'm away from here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, hard for her at this point, too. You
know, is that she needs help with schoolwork, or she needs help with people and that kind of stuff?
She doesn't need help with people. She's a good she's a good people person. You know, no, she needs help with school.
Yeah, okay.
She needs help with school. She needs someone to help her with homework and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. You know, I just give her as much time as she needs.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of drives me crazy. You know, I get
torn
two directions, and then I can't do both.
Exactly. Tutoring programs available?
She's using all of them.
Okay. Okay.
No, she's got a tutor for two classes, and she stays after to work with other teachers, so... She's taking advantage of those, and she's doing those things, but there's still 4 or 5 hours worth of homework every night, and she needs help with it.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's a lot of homework.
She's had 5 honors classes.
Well, no, I understand. That's still a lot of homework.
Yep.
I mean, you know. Oh, well. Tell her to hang in, kid. that's about the best thing I can tell her.
Just, you know, it'll be nice if I can get Victoria home on Friday.
Yep. Yep.
It'll mean more work for me while she's here, but it also means that we can do more things as a family as far as getting things. I can work more and stuff like that. That'll help.
Yep. Yep. Yes, that will help. Cool.
Not having to run back and forth to the SNF a lot, and if things are, you know, go crazy here, you know, she's at least home. She can, you know, focus in on that. So, I mean, you know,
yeah.
That's all I
have. Shit happens. Exactly. Okay.
You know. All right.
So,
all right,
we'll talk to you next week.
We'll have to find out how much of this show actually got kept up.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. You're gonna look at that, huh? Hey, how many listeners did we have? Can you tell?
For today.
Yeah.
We had 7 last week.
Cool.
You know, we're averaging between archives and lives, we're averaging around 15.
Right. Well, there's 15 more souls enlightened then.
No. But, you know, I think I only saw 2 live listeners last week, too. But now it shows 7, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It'll be updated again.
Yep. Okay. Okay, kiddo. I will let you go. And
all right.
You got stuff to do, and I got stuff to do, so we will talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.
All righty. Bye.